Good afternoon, everybody. This is, as usual, Thomas Birtel calling from Vienna, and I'd like to take you through the presentation of fiscal year 2016 figures. Let's start with page number three, which gives a comparison between our midterm targets and what we reached in 2016. When it comes to the output volume, we saw a small decline by about 6% vis-à-vis the budget for 2016. The final amount of output was 13.5 billion euros. This is the only key figure which shows a minor downward trend, whilst all the other figures given on the chart show a major or even considerable increase. This is true for the EBIT, where our guideline was at least 3% on sales, which would have translated into about 390 million euros. At the end of the day, we reached an EBIT figure of 425 million, and net of a specific non-recurring item, which I will still explain, it would still have been 397 million euros. The EBIT margin, where the midterm target was 3% as from 2016 onwards, amounted to 3.4%, and net of the already mentioned non-recurring item, we would have reached 3.2%, which means that we clearly meet and even exceeded our targets for the year. The equity ratio, as usual, remained among 30%. 31.5% is the figure in the balance sheet of the 31st of December, which is clearly above our target line of 25%. With regard to the dividend, the management board, with the consent of the supervisory board, has proposed to pay out a dividend of 0.95 per share, which is an increase of 46% over the year before, although it still remains within the bandwidth which we have set since our IPO in the year 2007, and which means that we would distribute between 30% and 50% of our net income after minorities. The figure proposed for this year would mean to distribute 35%. On page number four, we give a short explanation for the reasons of the shrinkage of our output volume, which was seen before all in the countries of Slovakia, Poland, and the Czech Republic. Today, we allocate the reasons to the end of the first EU cohesion funds regime, which took place by the 31st of December 2015, and the strong development in Germany and Austria could not fully compensate the effects of this development in the three countries I specified before. To remember of the year 2015, these were exactly the countries where we were positively surprised in 2015 because of the extraordinary growth of the output, especially by the end of the year. On page number five, we give an overlook regarding our order backlog. Fortunately enough, it increased by 13% and amounted to more than 14.8 billion by the end of the year, which is a record high for the group, and it is specifically a record high for Germany, which is our biggest single market. We also saw growth in the countries of Slovak Republic, Hungary, Austria, and in Chile, where we have a long-standing presence vis-à-vis our subsidiary, Süblin. Declines, however, took place in the markets of Denmark, Russia, and Romania, but could, as I said before, be overcompensated by the strong growth in the markets I mentioned. The most important slide probably is slide number six, which gives an overlook over the EBIT margin development. We start with the EBITDA figure, which grew by 5% and amounted to 855 million by the year-end. This was especially due to earnings improvements, which took place in our core markets in Austria and in Germany. The increase in EBIT was far bigger. It was 25%. The EBIT amounted to 425 million euros, and net of the non-recurring item I mentioned before, it was still above 397 million euros. The bigger increase of the EBIT versus the EBITDA was also caused by the fact that our depreciation was considerably reduced, namely by 9%, especially because of the sale of our hydraulic engineering equipment, which took place in the course of 2016. The non-recurring item I already mentioned before has to do with the acquisition of the minority shares of about 43% in Züblin, where we sold a minority stake in another company to the minority shareholder, and where we had to reveal a non-recurring item for fiscal reasons in the amount of approximately 28 million euros. Let's come to our earnings per share, which are given on page number 7. There the increase again is bigger. It is a plus of 78%. Our net income came up to 278 million euros, and the earnings per share grew from 1.52 euro to now 2.71 euro. Given the fact that this is the basis for our dividend distribution, we can propose an increase of 46% of the absolute amount of dividend, although we still remain within the bandwidth of distribution which we had promised in the course of the IPO. On page number 8, we underline the fact that the proposition for this year is the highest dividend since the IPO. It's the highest dividend in the history of the group. And we underpin the fact once again that we have distributed a dividend within the predetermined payout range every year since the IPO in 2007. The dividend yield stands at 2.8% in relation to the share price at the 31st of December 2016. The annual general meeting will take place on the 23rd of June this year, and it will decide on the proposal with regard to the dividend I just explained. Let's now come to our net cash position. We give an overlook on page number 9. As you know, it is our strategic guideline to maintain financial strength. In the year under report, we again succeeded in doing so. The equity ratio is at a high of 31.5%, and once again, we post a net cash position. It is still very considerable, although it sank from 1.1 billion to 449 million euros because of uncharacteristically high amounts of project-related advance payments, which we had in the balance sheet by the year end last year, the year 2015, and this trend now reversed and normalized, and because of several noteworthy enterprise investments and one real estate investment, which were financed with existing and out of existing liquidity in 2016. This was positive facts also for the ratings agency Standard & Poor's. In July 2016, S&P confirmed again our investment grade rating BBB, which had been upgraded in 2015 only. The outlook was left at stable. S&P sees Strabag SE's strengths especially and above all in the stable margins in an otherwise quite cyclical and volatile market environment, in the effective risk management system, and in the strong market positions which our group holds in its major markets. Now we come to cash and cash equivalents. Despite a 5% higher cash flow from earnings of 690 million euros, the cash flow from operating activities fell by 79% and amounted to 264 million euros. The strong working capital reduction of the previous years, influenced, among other things, by the uncharacteristically high project-related advance payments I mentioned already, was now reversed and normalized by around one-half, as we had expected. The cash flow from investing activities, as a consequence of high investments in property, plant and equipment, through the acquisition of the TechGate Vienna property near the Strabag headquarters here in Vienna, and because of the takeover of Raiffeisen Evolution, which is now called Strabag Real Estate, sank by 36% on the year and amounted to minus 434 million. The cash flow from financing activities amounted to minus 564 million euros after minus 118 million in the year before. This development was driven especially by the already mentioned acquisition of the remaining minority shares of Erdzüblin AG in Germany and by the refinancing in the real estate project development business. Additionally, a bond issue last year, which means 2015, had contributed positively to the cash flow. We now come to the relationship between CFI and CFO. In 2014 and 15, we had been able to post a positive free cash flow. Due, among others, to the already mentioned reversal of the high advance payments, this was not the case in 2016. We had forecast net capital expenditures in the amount of approximately 400 million for the year. In the end, they totaled to 434 million for a level that was again at that of 2014. This figure had been unusually low in 2015 due to the lack of any significant acquisitions. The gross investments, our CAPEX, before subtraction of proceeds from asset disposals, stood at 609 million. This figure includes expenditures on intangible assets and on PPE of 412 million, the purchase of financial assets in the amount of 39 million, and enterprise acquisitions of 158 million euros. About 250 million is spent annually as maintenance expenditures related to the equipment and vehicle fleet in order to prevent inventory obsolescence. In addition to these necessary maintenance expenditures, of which the largest proportion in 2016 was spent in Germany, Austria, and the Czech Republic, STRABAG also invested especially in construction materials. Expenditures on intangible assets and on PPE must be seen against depreciation and amortization in the amount of 430 million euros. This figure also includes goodwill impairment in the amount of 5 million. As mentioned in the year before, depreciation had included a special depreciation allowance of almost 22 million in relation to the hydraulic engineering equipment which had been sold in 2016. We now come to our three operational segment and start with the biggest single one, which is the Northwest segment on page number 12. This segment comprises our construction activities in the countries of Germany, Poland, the Benelux, and Scandinavia. The output volume reached almost 6.2 million, which was a minus of 3% year on year. The figure remained nearly unchanged in the largest single market, which is Germany, but fell significantly in Poland, the second largest market in the segment. The negative development there was due to the less favorable weather conditions in the first 3 months and also due to relatively high output volume in 2015. The EBIT of the segment grew by 62% and reached almost 170 million as a result of considerable improvements in Germany and the absence of past burdens related to a large project in the Netherlands, the A15, as some of you might recall. The EBIT margin hence approached the group's target, reaching 2.9% after 1.8% in the year before. This was a specific contribution to reaching our group's aim of more than 3% EBIT on sales in general. The order backlog in the segment increased also considerably by 30% and amounted to more than 7 billion euros. New orders were registered in Italy and Sweden, in Benelux, and thanks to several large transportation infrastructure projects also in Poland. But the strong increase in the overall volume of orders came almost exclusively from Germany, where we saw a plus of 43%. Given the record order backlog of the segment, a higher output volume is expected there also for 2017. The German building construction civil engineering business should continue to contribute positively to both output volume and earnings. The dynamic situation of the market makes it necessary to focus on effective staff loyalty and recruiting measures to increase our attractivity as an employer in the building industry. In transportation infrastructures, we also expect an overall positive outlook for the coming years. In the spring of 2016, the German federal government has announced substantially increased investments in transportation infrastructures as expected. Overall, about 265 billion euros are planned in this country for more efficient transport networks until the year 2030. At first, the number of projects up for tender increased only slowly in the year under report, as the public sector had enormously reduced its procurement and planning capacities in the past few years. With the start of the second half of the year, however, the tendering activity in Germany began to pick up speed. The Polish construction sector has been undergoing a significant recovery since 2014. For 2016, the volume of public sector tenders was expected to be about comparable to the previous year's level, but tenders for these projects got underway only slowly and finally came to a complete standstill in the third quarter. Thanks to our good order backlog, however, the output volume for 2017 has already been secured through existing contracts. Meanwhile, we are becoming more active in the area of public sector tenders in the Polish building construction and civil engineering sector. The upward trends in the construction sector in Scandinavia is continuing for Strabag. The main factor driving this development is the high number of infrastructure projects and residential units, especially in the market of Denmark. We now come to the second largest segment of the group, which is South and East, shown on page number 13. The South and East segment comprises the core market of Austria, Switzerland, and the countries of the CEE region, including Russia. The output volume there fell by 12% and amounted to 4 billion in 2016. Most of this decline, as I mentioned before, is accounted for by the Slovak Republic, where significant growth had been observed the year before, as well as in Hungary and in the Czech Republic. The output volume in Russia, which had already declined the years before, declined once more. The EBIT fell much less strongly in the segment, slipping by 5% and amounting to 188 million euros. This figure had been at a relatively high level in the previous year due to the aperiodic income from an agreement related to large construction projects following completion. However, the margin further increased and amounted now to 4.8%, which is an extraordinarily good figure for a mere construction segment. The year before, it was still 4.5%. Also in this segment, we expect to be able to increase the output volume in 2017. Austria, the largest market in the segment, can be described as positively stable. The increase of the order backlog by plus 4% is due especially to building construction in the Viennese region. The increased stake in Vienna-based Raiffeisen Evolution Project Development, a project development company specializing in residential construction, from 20 to 100% for the group, should further strengthen our market position in Austria, which also in 2016 is the number one. Despite the great need for renovation work on lower tier roads, an improvement of the market for transportation infrastructures is still not in sight due to the lack of public investments in this area in Austria. Hungary had reported an unusually high output volume in transportation infrastructures during the previous year. Following declines in the double-digit percentage range in the intervening period, we are now confident of again growing the output volume in Hungary in 2017. Large infrastructure projects with EU co-financing are currently up for tender in the Slovak Republic, for instance, highways, a project in the field of wastewater, and for the automotive industry. The relatively high volume of tenders, however, is leading to higher prices for subcontractor services. There's also a certain shortage of skilled labor. At the same time, construction sector competitors are estimating their bidding price near the limit of profitability. This is, by the way, also true in the Czech Republic. In contrast to the Slovak Republic, however, projects there mostly involve private clients in building construction and civil engineering for Strabag. We now come to the third and last operational segment, where we give the details on page number 14, the International Special Divisions segment. This is comprising the field of tunneling, our concession business, our real estate development business, our construction material business, and our facility management business. The output volume, all in all, in the segment fell by 3% and amounted to almost 3.2 billion euros in 2016. The decline was especially strong in Italy, while the other markets registered considerably smaller upward or downward changes. The EBIT, however, grew by 4% and amounted to 49 million euros. This is the result of a number of contrary effects related to various large projects, as well as an impairment in the offshore wind business. The order backlog of 4.3 million remained stable. It's a plus of 1%, which is a solid figure due to the acquisition of a large tunneling project for a copper mine in Chile, which is worth about 400 million euros. Growth was also observed, for instance, in Austria and in Germany, real estate development business, and declines in Italy and Poland. Also for this segment, it should be possible to generate a slightly higher output volume in 2017, which means that we expect growth in output in all our operational segments. A positive contribution to the earnings, albeit not to the same extent as in the past, is expected to come from the property and facility services business. Although considerable and expected revenue reductions were registered with respect to the largest client, new clients in the communications areas such as Vodafone, Huawei, and Telefonica joined the customer base in late 2015 and during the first quarter 2016. A clearly satisfactory business was registered in real estate development 2016, for which we continue to maintain a positive outlook given the existing project pipeline and despite the higher property prices. In the project development business, the company is active not only in Germany, but also in Austria, in Poland, and in Romania. Properties are constantly being purchased, developed, and sold to investors, in part even before construction is completed. Demand is present for traditional asset classes, such as commercial buildings, but also for alternatives, such as logistics buildings, nursing homes, or student housings, also in good locations outside of the important cities. Moreover, we should be in a position to expand our strong market position in residential project development in Austria following the increase of our stake in Raiffeisen Evolution from 20 to 100% in the year under report. The tunneling business in the core markets like Switzerland remains hotly contested with a price level that is at times difficult to comprehend. For this reason, we are focusing increasingly on bids in Northern Europe and also in non-European markets, although price pressure can be observed here as well. The situation is rather similar for the concession business, which is private-public partnerships. As the market in Western Europe, with a certain exception in Germany and the Netherlands, remains thin and the political environment and competition are proving to be very challenging in Eastern Europe, the UK and selected markets outside of Europe, for instance in the Americas, are being kept under observation by Strabag, even if this involves significant costs in the bidding process. Besides all of these limiting factors, there is good news to be reported from this business field. In 2016, in June, it was possible to refinance the PPP models N17 and 18 in Ireland and the A8 project in Germany at optimized conditions. I would now like to come to a certain resume for the fiscal year 2016, we give the headlines on page number 10. The output volume was slightly down by 6% and the figure was back to the 2014 figure. The order backlog, however, reached an all-time record high for the group and amounted to almost 15 billion euros. Our midterm market target, as from 2016 onwards, of 3%, was clearly surpassed with a figure of 3.4% and net of a non-recurring item with a plus of 3.2%. We propose a dividend increase of 46%, which means that we propose a dividend amount of 95 euro cents per share to the General Assembly taking place on the 23rd of June this year. Strabag remains a financially strong group, which is still in a considerable net cash position at the end of the year and which maintains an equity ratio at a high level of above 31%. Our cost efficiency task force, Strabag 2013 FF, successfully completed its work in the year under report. We managed to take over the outstanding shares of Süblin, our market-leading subsidiary for building construction and civil engineering in Germany, and for Raiffeisen Evolution, which is now active under the brand of Strabag Real Estate in Austria. Our outlook for 2007 is summarized on page number 16. We again expect an increase of the top line, which means an output volume of at least 14 billion, which would translate into a plus of at least 4% over 2016. And as I pointed out before, we expect this increase to take place in all our three segments. The EBIT margin of 2016 should be reiterated at least in 2017, which means that also there we expect a margin of at least 3% in order to underpin that we have managed to reach a sustainable level of profitability in the group. A big structural measure for the group in the running year will be the squeeze out envisaged for Strabag AG in Cologne, the market-leading subsidiary of the group for road construction in Germany, where we already have a 93.6% stake and where an extraordinary annual general meeting took place in March this year in order to take the necessary decisions for the squeeze-out, which we expect to take place legally in, let's say, early autumn, which would mean September 2017. And we stick to our investment initiative regarding digitalization in the construction project, which with Strabag is branded under the name BIM, which means Building Information Modeling 5D, the five dimensions being shown for a project in a digital manner. This was it for the resume, for the summary of the year under report and our outlook for 2017, and now I'm glad to answer your questions. Thank you very much for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Markus Remis with RCB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dr. Birtel. Question regarding the Strabag AG squeeze out. Am I right that this would entail a cash out of 77 million in the Q3 results then, and would that reduce the minority on the balance sheet by 65 million?
Yes, I think basically you are right. Although the final number which has to be paid for the shares will be most probably fixed in the course of a long-lasting litigation, which might take in the forthcoming 5 or 7 or 8 years. But the initial figure, and we believe that it is a fair and appropriate price offer, is 300 euros per share, which had also been confirmed by the two experts which had to have an eye on that. And based on this figure, which we believe is a fair offer, your figure is correct.
Okay, so then you would kind of book a provision first, and then in a couple of years we would see the actual cash out.
Actually, we have to pay the cash out for this amount already once the squeeze out takes place legally by, let's say, autumn this year. It is only an eventual remaining difference, which would then have to be paid again in 6, 7, or 8 years.
Okay, very clear. And then two questions regarding the fourth quarter numbers. I know it's not representative to look at a quarter for a construction company, but what I find striking in Northwest, the 10% or 11% margin in the fourth quarter, was there anything inflating that number? And secondly, in International and Division, The fourth quarter EBIT contribution was actually negative. It was also negative in the fourth quarter 2015. But when I look at the years before, there was always quite a substantial earnings contribution in the fourth quarter. If you could remind us of the background of this development, was there any structural change in there, or it cannot be only the impairments from my point of view?
It is basically the volatility of the construction business, which you detect there so rightly in the two segments. With regard to North and West, we saw various litigations coming to an end after decades for some projects. And fortunately enough, they all came to a positive result for the group. And three considerable of them came to an end in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
And hence, they were booked there because, as you know, we don't give them a positive figure unless it is secured by a sentence or a binding decision. And this all took place in the fourth quarter. Hence, it is an operational result, but it does not necessarily belong operationally to the fourth quarter. On the other hand, in the international divisions, we had to have a look at various tunneling projects, also in the Americas, and we came to the conclusion that we had to be cautious with the one or the other project, which was also the case, by the way, in the year before. We have mentioned the year before the famous Alto Maipo project in Chile, which was again one reason for such a measure also in 2016. Although in the meantime, I can report that we managed to reach an agreement with the customer regarding a huge variation order, which was concluded in the first quarter of this year.
Okay, but the fourth quarter was impacted by provisions for impending losses then?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, very clear. Okay, I think that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Remis.
The next question comes from the line of Tobias Loschkamp with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Maybe just following up on that, I mean, if you are saying that the litigations weren't really visible, let's say, earlier in last year, that they come to an end in Q4, and what the actual outcome is it then fair to say that you took some, let's say, precautionary provisions in the international and special divisions, basically, you know, trying to smooth out the group results, so because you in the end you came out in line with the guidance. Is that a fair statement?
No, I wouldn't say that, because we make decisions on such provisions on a project by project level, and not on a, let's say, on a political level, which has the group result as such as a scope. And on that project by project level, the point is that, especially in the international and special divisions business, the single projects tend to be rather big, and hence there is a certain influence even when you have to take a decision for about a provision on a project by project level. But it is also part of the nature of the business that negotiations took quite a lengthy development, and that is difficult to predict the outcome of such negotiations. And hence, I would say it was a political decision. It was really based on the best knowledge at the time we had to take the decision.
Mm-hmm. And when you flagged that in Q1, you came to an agreement with the client in Latin America, is it something that will be, you know, where you agreed that you will get paid for the work that you have done, and it's a positive, you know, that it's a positive cash inflow effect, or is it also a positive earnings effect because you have taken a provision on that?
First of all, it's a positive cash inflow effect because such agreements always are a compromise. But mm-hmm. it is definitely a cash incoming effect, a considerable one.
But not really a P&L, major P&L impact.
Not yet.
Okay. Then I wanted to ask you, Maybe more generally, I mean, you are saying in this slide where you're presenting the EBIT margin for the group, you're saying that it's impossible to simply extrapolate the margin values for the following year. So, I mean, what do you want to say with it? Is it that the 3.4% margin shouldn't be taken for granted for 2017, or that we shouldn't, you know, take the improvement in the margin as a now continuing improvement, or what is the message that you want to give?
Yeah,
or do you want to say that the South and East margin is a little artificially high and should be recovered somewhat by Special Division and International?
I think your statement is a fair one, Mr. Loscombe. We wanted to, let's say, make sure that not everybody is expecting again a 25% increase over 2016 in the running year, because as we had pointed out before, there was at least one non-operating, non-recurring item of a considerable height, which was the sale of Park Service Hüfner, which with a non-operating, non-recurring profit effect of 28 million. And as I pointed out before, we also saw some positively operational effects, which did not really belong in the year 2016, but which we had then to bring to the EBIT account. And it is not necessarily the case that such events also take place in the running year. And once it is a very normal construction year, it is still our ambition and our aim to reach at least the 3% margin. But as I already said at an earlier occasion, there is a certain glass ceiling in my eyes for profitability in a pure play construction company, and this is somewhere in the 3% region. So we explicitly do not predict a 4% profitability for 2017.
Yes, makes a lot of sense. And then generally on the margin in International and Special Division has been low now for 2 years in a row. Can you give us some more color on how the various activities are performing? Usually, let's say I would assume the facility business to be reasonably, you know, providing a relatively stable profitability. But that would then again, if you also consider the good environment for the real estate development, that it would consider that the tunneling business is making a loss now for 2 years in a row. Is that a fair statement, or is there something else that we need to take into account?
No, I think you're completely right, Mr. Loscombe. The International and Special Division segment comprises some very different activities. The one with the highest profitability for the time being is doubtlessly the real estate development. But there we are not really talking about a construction margin, but it is something different. It goes without saying that this is a very positive contribution for the time being. And it is also true that especially the FM activities, which are at least worth one billion in output a year, they contribute with a rather stable and quite satisfactory margin to our business. On the other hand, tunneling is very volatile. Also, the raw materials business can be very volatile. It is definitely a low margin business, and hence your perception is a fair look on the segment. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any visibility that this will improve in 2017, or is it something that you see that remains challenged but has strategic relevance for the group, so that you will keep it in the current operational manner?
We have a rather clear view on the output for the segment as such, which is a positive one. We believe, as I said, that the output should slightly increase in the year 2017. And we have a quite positive look on the property and facility services business, as well as the real estate development. There we have definitely a positive view on those two activities. With regard of tunneling and raw materials, it is far more difficult to make a prediction for those two activities. But all in all, we believe that those two activities will by no means endanger the group's target to reach a 3% margin in the running year.
Okay, so you're expecting it to improve, but it won't be great, at least for the near future. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's a fair statement.
And then two other things I want to ask you. The working capital, last year you surprised us on the positive, but flagged already an artificially high level. Now it came down also quite significantly. Would you say now we are more on a normal level, or would you say we are now more at a level that looks rather low?
No, I think it is very good statement to say we reached again a rather normal level, which is always coined by large advance payments, but the level we had by the end of 2015 was extraordinarily high, as we pointed out at the time, and now we are back to normal. That's a fair statement.
Yeah. And then last question, in terms of the dividend, I know it's a record dividend. I know that you think the increase is quite sizable, but say there's a lot of other construction companies that are rather paying out 50% of net income. And you have a strong balance sheet. It doesn't seem like you want to invest a lot, or that any big acquisitions are on the pipeline. What keeps you from not, targeting the upper end of the range?
Well, basically, we have always made a proposal which was somewhere in the middle of the range we had promised during the IPO in 2017, and we believe that. Also, our proposal this year is a good compromise between an enormous increase in absolute figures and a moderate range within the bandwidth which we had published before. And we were quite grateful that our supervisory board fully backed our proposal for the AGM.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Loskam.
The next question comes from the line of Daniel Lyon with Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I would like to once more touch the topic of the litigations. Would you be able to give us a number to work with, so to really see the clean EBIT that you generated this year?
Oh, it's a low double-digit figure. So the biggest single figure definitely is the non-recurring, non-operational item I already mentioned before, which was 28 million out of the sale of the minority stake with Park Service Hüfner in connection with the Lenz deal. All the other various factors were much smaller.
There were not only the litigation issues in the second quarter, I think, or partially in the third. There were some negative effects as well. I think summing up to a total of 17 million, and in addition comes then the litigations in the fourth quarter. So, as you say, a low double-digit euro amount from the litigations, this would still mean that we would be at a clean EBIT margin of around 3% or maybe slightly above.
Well, I wouldn't think that this is a fair assumption, because this is part of the operational business, and given the size and the long-term character of such litigations, which we always have, we have 12,400 sites under operation in parallel every year. This will always take place. It is a coincidence once some major decisions coincide in the same quarter, but it could also have taken place in the third quarter or in the second quarter. So this is the clear-cut difference we make between the non-operational, non-recurring item, where we just saw one last year of a considerable size, and many, many other operational influences, which by coincidence last year, they summed up a little bit in the fourth quarter, but they could easily have taken place also in the second or the third quarter. So this was mere coincidence, which can take place or might not take place in another year as well.
No, of course, it's definitely an operating issue, but the thing is that it's basically blocked into a single point in time when you receive the money, or when the decision is taken, and this distorts the profitability. Of course, if you would spread it along the lifetime of the contracts or the litigation process, you would have a slightly higher EBIT margin during this lifetime, but not such a massive influence, or massive, at least a significant influence in a single quarter or in a single year. That's
I think if you always do it, it doesn't really make a difference. If you always do it like that, then the amount remains always the same.
Yeah, basically yes, but in this case, of course, we have now a reported or adjusted EBIT of, let's say, 3.2%, slightly above.
On the other hand, if you didn't have the small shrinkage in output, we had a bigger output and we would have had the margin on that. I think it's not an essential factor in casting a judgment on our profitability.
Well, I'm not questioning the operability, your margin strength at all. It's actually the reason why I'm also talking about this is to reflect it to some extent also with your guidance, that which seems to me very cautious with even if you say at least 3% EBIT margin, but I was just wondering what would need to happen that you really come out at the lower level of this guidance, because when reflecting to your growth guidance of at least 4% with an order book increase of 30% year on year, I would expect that the dynamics in order intake should continue well into the first quarter or going forward, especially coming from Germany, but also with some recovery in Poland once this starts again. I was just wondering what's the negative scenario that you have in mind where you would only reach a 3% EBIT margin?
Basically, this is not a negative. It is at least 3%, and I agree. It is a scenario where we are quite confident that we will be able to deliver it at the end of the day, which is our track record for the past half decade. Given the fact that we are working in many markets which show a quite satisfactory environment, we should always also keep in mind that might also have cost effects on our business. A good market doesn't necessarily mean that our margins are exploding. It can also mean that the margins of our subcontractors are exploding, which would then be, again, a limiting factor for operational market, although the market development is a good one. And we feel quite comfortable with the midterm estimate that we will be able to make at least a 3% margin sustainable. This is the proof we would like to deliver at the end of the year.
And to what extent would you be able to pass on rising input costs?
That depends on the contract form which we have. We do have various types of contracts. And for instance, public contracts are normally unit price contracts where a certain unit price for a physical quantity is fixed. And normally such public contracts also contain escalation clauses, which means that the contractor is entitled to price increases once he can prove that the price development for a certain index was also increasing. So there is a certain chance to do that under unit pricing regime in the public sector. There is no chance whatsoever on the private side once you have concluded a turnkey lump sum contract, which is the typical contract under building construction. Although also on the private side, we see cost plus fee models, for instance, in Russia, is it a traditional way we are doing business in Russia. And under the cost plus fee model, the costs are more or less openly revealed to the customer, and it's just a fee paid on top of that. And there it goes without saying that you can easily pass cost increases, but you also must pass cost decreases directly to the customer.
and to what extent are subcontractors actually involved already in more or less at the time of the signing of larger projects if costs are not able to be passed on? Or is this really the general contractor's risk that at a certain point in time within the contract to be delivered or worked off, simply new subcontractors need to be signed, and if the market development is like it is, then they might demand higher prices. Mm.
No, it is a normal process, especially when you are discussing turnkey lump sum contracts with the customer, to have a close contact to eventual or to potential subcontractors in order to have a reliable cost base for your cost estimate. And we also try to make pre-contracts with such subcontractors in order to have a reliable cost base for our pricing. So this is it's a normal procedure, especially in the turnkey lump sum area.
Okay. Maybe one last question. The start of the year, I guess, was mixed from weather perspective. When we look at how winter developed in at least in Central Europe, but how did order intake, order momentum, especially Germany, how did this develop? Did you see a continuation of the strong momentum you had in the second half year, or was it also a cooling off with the weather?
Well, as you know, we are discussing the first quarter's figures a little later, but I think I can already reveal that the momentum was unbroken.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lyon.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by one on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Thomas Bürtel for closing comments.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your attention. And then I'm very much looking forward to discuss with you our first quarter's figures in some weeks' time. Thank you. Goodbye.